Everybody starts from a different angle, which means there's no one size fits all. It's a one size fits none.
Welcome to our podcast, It's About Payroll. We're your hosts, Brian Escobar and Walter William Duncan III. Whether you're new to the payroll game or a seasoned veteran, we have something for you. Welcome back, folks. We are episode 109. It's About Payroll. We have a awesome show today, a really great guest, Bart Vanderstorm. But before we get into that, of course, we got pay news. And before that, even, how you doing today, Walt?
Man, I am good. I'm happy. Not happy about the Miami Marlins on their current.
Oh, what happened with the Marlins?
They're the only winless team in Major League Baseball right now. I think they lost 9 or 10 straight. It's just a mess, man. But other than that, I'm all right. How are you? Your Yankees are looking good.
I'm good. Yeah, I know. They are looking good. It's still early in the season. The baseball has so many games, and I always laugh at us fans that we're like, good or bad, right? We're like, oh my God, yeah. We're like, how many games is it? Oh, five. You know what I mean? Like, baseball play 160-something games. It's a ways now. But yeah, it's always fun to be a winning team or whatnot. Yeah, I'm good, man. All's good. Excited for this episode. I've been talking to Bart for a while about his some things he's been doing and stuff. And yeah, if you don't know who Bart Vanderstorm is, we'll cover that as well. Give us his story. Exciting. But before that, let's get into this pay news. And what was up first?
Mine is really quick. ADP submitted an employment report for March 2024. The link for the show, for that article, will be in the show notes. So just three quick things. Private payrolls in March of 2024 increased by 184 jobs, which is the largest increase since July last year. This suggests companies are willing to pay more for new hires. So even though inflation is happening, companies are still trying to do the right thing and get the right talent in as well and pay more, right?
Yeah, because you have to show them that you're willing. The companies have to show employees that, hey, I'm going to combat this, you know, the inflation rate, because that's the problem. Like, inflation goes up 6%, but our raises only go up 3%. And that might be the max. And, 2.5 for you. Oh, well, why? Because, unfortunately, some managers – you always have to leave room for improvement.
Yeah, I worked for a place, man. They didn't do it by percentage. They did it. Say, hey, you either get a quarter, 50 cents, or a dollar.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My next note here is that non-farm payrolls increased by 200,000 jobs after increasing by 275,000 in February. And then last is the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate is forecasted to remain at the same 3.9%. So that's pretty much it for me.
Okay.
What do you got?
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm glad you covered that, because these are big numbers recently that came out with payroll, and I was like, oh man, should I cover this and that? Yep. So thank you, sir. Good.
And now a word from our sponsor, TimeTrack Go. To celebrate Small Business Month, TimeTrack Go is offering you a chance to experience the power of their time clock software completely free for the first month. The simply better employee time clock software that is going to make your life easier. TimeTrack Go already has a unique graphical employee time card, and that will help you quickly identify and fix the mistakes.
TimeTrack Go just announced the addition of automatic PTO accrual earnings, so you can say goodbye to those manual calculations. And TimeTrack Go integrates with your favorite payroll systems, including QuickBooks, Gusto, ADP Workforce Now, Paychecks, and more. Don't miss out. Take advantage of this special offer. Use the link in this post to start your 14-day trial in the month of May to qualify for your first month free. Let's go.
I have Oregon State employees have been dealing with ongoing payroll system problems for about a year, they say. And the state switched in early 23, but the rocky transition caused errors, and employees at a protest last Thursday said the problems are still ongoing. Yeah, it's local, it's a union, and they're union, so that you can't mess with unions because, how can I say, it's not because they're scary, but because unions have what's called a CBA, collective bargaining agreement. Yeah, and it's been negotiated between the union leader and the job leaders, or the employers, the companies, to work under that union agreement. So it's not, oh, you got to deal with it until we fix it. They may actually have clauses in their CBA that cause penalty and cause other things, like they can strike and stuff like that. So it's really, it's not desirable.
I remember I did a union payroll earlier, way earlier in my career, but I wasn't responsible for reading all the different the CBA or anything like that.
Okay.
But I made a mistake on one person's check and they got paid, and I went to go try to adjust it. They had language where, like, hey, if this overpay happens, you can't deduct it.
That's right. Oof. Ooh.
Wow. Oh, man. Okay.
Yep.
Thank God it wasn't a lot, but geez, all right.
Yep. Well, see, now that's a good call out, though, because they didn't require you to read the CBA, or was it the manager had to review your payroll before it went out? Because I feel
like... Yes. Somebody had to review my payroll before it went out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So then they dropped the ball. They were responsible for the CBA and looking at the... Because that's a... Yeah. For me... I'm glad it's a long time ago, because I feel like if you're in payroll and you're paying union people, I would want my whole team to be familiar with the CBA.
Yeah, bro. I was a young whippersnapper. I was like 25. Whippersnapper.
Nice. So, yeah, man, hopefully Oregon state employees get some improvement that they need, because going a year without that, what's that stat that you share with us all the time, is if you go two paychecks, folks are looking to leave their job. Yes. And they probably haven't, because they're in the union, so they're willing to stick it out longer because they do have a body, like a governing body that's advocating for them. They have that protection. They have protection. Yes. Thank you. Easier said. They have protection. So they're probably not looking to skate off real easy, but they're going to strike. They're causing problems. To go a year, and it says in the article, is just like the anxiety of not knowing if your next paycheck is going to be right again or wrong again. You don't want employees to be dealing with this stuff. And again, definitely not union employees, who have more advocacy. Yes. One, and they're Oregon on the West Coast, states are very employee centric. They're very employee advocating type of things. And if you're in the states and you do payroll in the West Coast, make sure you're looking at all the state rules, because they tend to be more generous to the employees. Yeah, so it was just something to really call out. And again, hopefully they're able to get these things resolved so they can get back on stability, right? As we say all the time, payroll is life, and people need their paychecks to live their life. Get it together, folks. Get it together. So, yeah, let's move into this intro for Bartman. You want to read it for us? You want to take care of the intro for us, sir?
Yeah, I could do that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to introduce Bart Vanderstorm, a distinguished figure renowned for his expertise in revolutionizing the global payroll operations. With an illustrious career spanning roles such as payroll manager, global payroll director, and payroll strategy consultant, Bart has cultivated a profound understanding of the intricacies involved in streamlining payroll processes across diverse and international landscapes. His guiding principle to make simplicity synonymous with security resonates throughout his work, where he adeptly crafts actionable strategies tailored to both business objectives and human need. As the co-founder of Payroll Minds, Bart embodies a philosophy centered on creating a fulfilling life without the need to escape plans, an ethos reflected in the consultancy's commitment to simplifying and securing global payroll operations. With an agile and people-centric approach, Bart and his team at Payroll Minds stand ready to collaborate, inspire, and elevate global payroll processes and systems. Welcome, Bart Vanderstorm.
Time, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I do realize
you get to hear the whole intro.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Thank you so much for the gentleman who was speaking. But I do realize it's early morning for you guys.
It's no problem. Yeah. Hopefully, it's also a good time for you. It's later in the afternoon for you, right?
It's 3 o'clock. It's nice. It's convenient. So thank you so much for accommodating me.
Oh, yeah, no absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Welcome. Are you in the office or?
No, my home office.
Okay, good. Okay. I was like, wow.
Nowadays, when you work globally, obviously, there's you're 24/7. Yeah, it could be in the morning in Asia. Yeah. It could be in the afternoon in the US. It's, I make sure I can work from anywhere, which is cool. So no issues there. Thank you so much.
Ah, absolutely. Yes.
Glad to have you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you on. Me and Bart spoke a few months back, and he teased out, hey, my book is coming out soon. I was really excited, and I'm more excited to dig in because, man, I started going through it, and Bart is, I'm really excited to read the rest, Bart. I love that you've done this for us. When me and Walt started this journey, what we did not find were content. I literally was trying to buy anything payroll related on as far as books are concerned. And all I could find was textbooks,
yeah.
How to process payroll management and payroll processing and payroll taxes. And it was just text until Anita Latink, and she dropped her. And now we started to go into this world where it wasn't just about text. Mm-hmm. And then now you follow up. Man, I'm so excited, man. I'm starting to go through it here. And before we get into my commentary on what some of the stuff I read, Bart, why don't you tell us, what's your payroll origin story?
Obviously, it's also written in the book. It's funny. So it all started with, I guess everybody has this, but it started with my father, meaning he was always a bit of he was a crisis manager, self-employed. He was always had his own organization. And as a young kid, he was like, hey, you know, he was really pushing me always to work, to find, to read and to learn. And so quite early in my career, he started to involve me in some of his accounting practices, where he was helping either local grocery store, the local bakery store with their admin or with their financial troubles. And so I got a little bit of the hang of it, the accounting side of the occasion. And then one day, I don't remember exactly which year it was, but one day he came home and he bought a piece of software. And he said, Bart, up until now, I've been outsourcing my payroll activities for all my clients, but I decided it's time for us to do it ourselves. And he says, I have no clue. So here you got the software and go have a look. And he made me, I must have spent the whole summer trying to figure out what payroll really was and what were deductions and social securities and pensions. I had no clue. I really had to figure it out all myself. And then I also had to install the software and implement it and make it compliant. And so I really fell in love with the entire concept of payroll. And clearly from there onwards, everybody starts with their local payrolls and then it starts from smaller to bigger. And soon, quite a couple of years after, I decided that the Netherlands, which is obviously a large country from an economic perspective, but a small country from a size perspective, I decided the Netherlands was way too small for me. So I wanted to expand. So I went into Benelux, which is Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg. And then I went into Europe. And I found employers who gave me the opportunity to learn more about all the other countries. And that's also where my book is leaning towards, is ultimately, once you know how a payroll process functions, the cracks of the, it goes from the recruitment and then the data collection, data manipulation, all the way down to the general ledger files. Once you get the hang of it, give or take a couple of countries, okay, that's the process. And then it comes down to technology, and then it comes down to, okay, organizational design. And my book, just to immediately go a little bit in, but I'll reserve a little bit more for it later, but my book was to help anyone who wants to have a career or is in a career in payroll to understand that once you know the process, once you understand technology, what makes things really click versus when do you struggle? And that's why I wrote the book. But myself, I love payroll. What can I say? I think I don't know anyone who actually deliberately chose for payroll in the beginning of their careers, but I also...
Walter did.
Walter did. Wow. Well, good for you, Walter. But I think from my perspective and speaking to so many people, a lot of people just fall into it. But once they get hooked, there's no way out. It's either...
So that's my second question. Why did you stay in payroll?
You're in the middle of the action. I remember I was at Cisco Systems, which is probably in the middle of my career where I really got to learn all the ropes and tricks and everything. And when Cisco was a huge, was a heavily engaged in acquisitions. But as a payroll director at Cisco, I knew before most people about those acquisitions because they involved me.
Right.
So I was in the center of the action, whether we did a divestiture, whether you do an acquisition, whether you did a downsizing, a growth spurt. You're in the action when there's a new bonus scheme that they wanted to implement or a new benefit. You're constantly on the tip of your toes in respect of being able to implement whatever is being asked of you. And the action, the ability to make a difference, the ability to do things the way in a way that it makes more sense. Also, the fact, I must admit, I'm a little bit of an underdog kind of person. I'd love to be coming out of a position where people don't expect that you can really make a difference with a team, yourself, or individually. It's what I love doing. So, and I also like to prove people wrong in a way. In payroll, I always tell people the number one thing I love about payroll as well is that, of course, in the US, it's every other week, but in most of the countries in the world, every other month, you have a new chance for success. Every other month, you can try to avoid all the mistakes you've made in the previous month. And so it's Groundhog Day, but in a positive way. You can constantly try to improve. And if you improve, then you can really make a difference. Yeah, for sure.
I love it.
Awesome.
Okay, so now you touched a little bit about why you wrote it, but what really inspired you and when did you have that first thought, I'm going to write this book?
Yeah.
And then how long did it take? What was the inspiration there and what that process look like? Because I do want folks to read the book. We don't have to give away the book here. You got to go read it. I've already started reading it. It's great. It's worth it, folks. So do it. But give us some of that background.
Yeah, I'm just the kind of, again, I just do the things that I want to do. Similar to my company, there's not going to be a pitch about my company, but 3.5 years ago, I decided with two other partners, let's go and jump into this gap in between Deloitte and PwC and the local payroll vendors. Let's jump in this gap of becoming an HR and payroll consultancy firm that looks at it globally. The same way I thought about this book, but I think you already named her, but Anita Letting, obviously she's a Dutch woman as well, so somehow the books come from the Netherlands, guys, I'm sorry about that. But
so far
they do. She told me, she was at an event that I hosted with my company, she said to me, Bart, if you have the inspiration, it's worth it. Just the fact that you have to, thinking that you can write a book and actually do it, man, I've learned so much more than I didn't even comprehend how much it took. But to go through the entire exercise of jotting my thoughts down, ensuring that there was a good narrative, constantly rethinking about what am I trying to say here? What's my ultimate goal with people reading this book? Because the first draft you write is going to be all over the place. You've got so many things that don't make a lot of sense organically if you're not thinking about how you want to say things. But then also details like what tone of voice do you want to bring across? And what's the verbiage going to be look like? And then don't get me wrong, I'm not a native English speaker, which means I had to also think about, hey, how do I translate this into another language? So I actually wrote the book in English. I've obviously had some help from people, from some marketing specialists as well. We wrote the book in English. My thoughts are still in Dutch. So I really had to, I must admit, I had three drafts of books. So my first draft didn't even become the book. So,
oh, wow. Yeah.
So I would say it took me over a year. I think in lead time, you can probably say it takes 3 to 4 months if you focus on it almost full time. But hey, I did it in all my spare time and I love doing it because it was really, once you have a goal, and I think we'll get to that goal, but once you have a goal, what do you want to share with the world? Then you really want to make sure that you focus on it without making it too difficult for people to understand and also to provide with your anecdotes, your own story. All of that is, and ultimately, guys, when I was finished, then suddenly it hit me like, but who on earth is actually going to be interested in my story to begin with? How could I have thought that I had the audacity to think that I could write something down and people would actually want to read it? But I overcame that anxiety a little bit and said, okay, I think it's a good book. I think at least anyone who reads the book will get some takeaways from it. And I sincerely hope, and also from the book, but also from my personal website and from my business website, people will see that Anyone who has a question, anyone who wants to know more, or anyone who just wants to personally tell me or ask me something, I'm here. I'm here to share. I'm here to help. I'm here to contribute to everybody's career, to their processes, to their work. Because I think it's time for all of us to realize that, and I think we do, but not everybody in the companies do, that if you do the payroll right in an organization, typically the organization is in good health, it's in good shape. Because I truly think that. So that's, for me, that was my motivator. And once I get motivated, guys, nice. I can do whatever I want. And I did it. Similar to setting up my company, I also now wrote a book. And I must admit, I'm already cooking a new book. Let's see.
Yes.
Let's see.
That's awesome. Right. You got the bug now. You're addicted now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's a little scoop here, but there.
Is it going to be payroll?
Yeah, of course. Of course. No, there's this, and I'll share the name afterwards, guys, because I can't recall his name by heart. He's a Spanish guy, but... And it's a way broader element that he talks about. But he talks about the world and the way the world functions. In there's so many dynamics within the way the world functions and the way people think and culturally and economically. And then what's the actual situation, the temperature, what's the weather look like, and how do you know what's the current social element of the world at that point. And that got me a little bit into, hey, but for payroll as well. Not every time I consult with an organization that asks me, hey, Bart, what do we do? Where are we now? Where do we go next? Not all companies all start from their own starting point. And so if you then assume there's a midpoint somewhere, you could say the delta of where you should be and from where you are today to where you want to be, everybody starts from a different vantage points. Everybody starts from a different angle, which means there's no one size fits all. It's a one size fits none. So you really need to narrow it down to where is the company now, what needs to be done tomorrow, where do they want to go, what kind of type of organization is it. So it's really going down into how is all these different dynamics actually coming to play when you are thinking about how to improve your payroll. Because systems and processes, guys, once you figure out what you want to do, then the systems and processes are quite easy. It's more like all the dynamics around it that makes it quite a puzzle. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Oh, that's great. You say puzzle, and it makes me think of that. I don't know if it's a section or a statement, but you have, it's a puzzle with endless pieces that we have to put together, and that Bart talks about in his book. And that one of the statements that grabbed me there, I want to really zero in on something that what I thought was quite remarkable that you had the confidence to share. In his book, folks, Bart says, I'm sorry for the moments where you'll feel offended by something I share, but that wouldn't be my truth, right? He desperately wants you to understand that he's being honest, he's being vulnerable. But Bart is a very assertive person, and some folks take him the wrong way. And I resonate with that, and I connect with that, because I have that. Look at Walt laughing, because he knows I have that same issue.
Yes.
Where not it's the issue. Passion that I have for this. The more aggressive and the more – it's the passion that I feel for this subject is why we push forward into that. And I wanted to – like. How did you get past that? Were you scared to oh my gosh, am I being too aggressive? And how did you get past that when you wrote the book?
Well, gents, and I guess it resonates a bit with what I said earlier. When you decide to write a book, you can write a book the way you think people want you to write it. You can write a book the way you think people want to, what people want to hear. But ultimately, there's only one thing that comes naturally, which is who you are, what you are, and how you operate. And similar to the book, and again, this is also why I wrote the book, is I want the payroll folks, but also leadership around the payroll folks or anyone who reads the book to understand that, and this is the thing that I'm not necessarily fond of, is but there's a tendency in the world to say payroll people are underrated and they're not recognized and they're not rewarded. And like, guys, it may be true. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'm not going to sit and whine about it. I'm just saying, guys, come on. Or girls, if you want to change something, change it. Have the audacity, have the courage. And courage is a word that comes in my book a lot of times. If you don't have the courage, then it's going to be very difficult for you to succeed and to be successful. Not in any way financially driven, but successful as a human being. Because we all know it's the constant battles with the authorities, it's the battles with your local, with the HR folks, with the leadership. It's constantly talking about budgets and resources and anything that's even remotely impactful for the payroll. It's when you are, and when you have the courage, when you are who you are, then you at least can come to terms with anyone you work with around what's needed.
Yeah.
And my main message through the book, and also, guys, don't get me wrong, I'm from the Netherlands, and I'm not sure, but I think we're one of the most most direct people considered in the whole world. Right? That's obviously not working for me. But on the other hand, it is my way of saying to everybody, listen, I'm not going to sit next to you and put my arm around you and say, yeah, you're right. All these evil people in HR, all these evil leaderships, they don't care what you do. They don't care if you burn out, etc., because they really don't care about people. I don't believe that. I've been in a period in my career where I tended to towards it, but because it's easier to complain than take the matters in your own hand and just do what is needed. Yeah. But then once I turned it around, said, oh no, but hold on. If I want something to change, I first have to make sure that I understand what is it, what's going on. Then I need to be able to talk to anyone, and I need to make sure that person understands what I'm trying to say. And then you need to come to terms around what did we agree? So if we agreed something is going to happen, then make sure you've documented it that way. So that when you come back to it and it didn't happen, or it did happen, or you need to take it to the next level, you can at least refer to it and say, hey guys, we've agreed something. And now it didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? And what can we do next? So if you bring that a couple of levels up, think about project management. Why do so many payroll implementations or HR payroll projects fail? It's because the organization, the project management team, is not necessarily keeping pulse and keeping score of everything that's going on in the way that I believe you should. So it's even if we would be working together on a project, guys, and we know each other, we like each other, maybe every once in a while on the weekend we grab a beer, whatever. So we're friendly with each other. We also relate to each other's jobs. We understand what's going on. We understand that it's hard work, already put in a lot of hours. So the tendency for people to relate and therefore to accept and therefore not to really call out what's really going on makes things worse. And so it is important that when you are in payroll, specifically when you run a project in payroll, that you're really eyeballing the real issues and you're talking about the real issues, so that whenever it escalates or whenever it gets to a point where it meets the leadership, that there's no surprises. And people may still disagree. Yep. People, it's okay to disagree. It's okay to agree to disagree. Yep. But at least it needs to be clear about what the disagreement is about. And obviously, at my company at Payroll Minds, where we deal with quite a unique set of clients with all kinds of sets of issues, the common denominator typically is the non-communication between the various organizations, such as HR and finance and payroll, between the various departments. Whereas I'm like, guys, eventually we all have the same goal. We all want the same thing. Starts with communication, and because of it starts also with having the courage and having the ability to speak for yourself, but also to be responsible for whatever you're saying is really the case, or at least you believe it to be true. So it summarizes a little bit my personality in conjunction with how I see payroll, in conjunction how I believe payroll should be acting, and therefore you can avoid the scenarios in where people may think, well, the payroll folks are underrated, underappreciated, etc. Because I don't believe that. I genuinely don't believe that. Doesn't mean I don't believe people deserve more, and that doesn't mean I don't. I know that the payroll folks, if the companies they work for really understood what was going on, they probably would take more care of them. But hey, if you're not being heard, then make sure you're being heard.
There we go. Yep. Yeah, that's right.
I love
that's
that. Right. Yes.
Yes. Yes, man,
we've learned that. So motivational, man. That's so powerful what you said.
Yeah,
so motivational. Yeah. Like, just don't sit and complain. Be the change, basically. And I love that. I love that. I love that.
Be the squeaky wheel, right? And I tell my team, I tell whoever, listen, really, if you're not putting yourself on record, if you're not being that squeaky wheel, then you can't complain later that, look at this and that. You have to speak up. You have to get it documented. Like you said, you have to agree to disagree, even if it doesn't get done, right? Don't take it personal. I think we should do this, and they don't do it. It's okay. You've raised your hand. You've put it on record. And when the aha moment comes from leadership, they're going to be like, oh, man, Bart said this already. Crap.
He
was right. And that's the moments that you want to have, right? And I wanted to share, one, I love the fact that Max did your preface. I love Max from Pazar.
Another just, Dutch guy, eh?
Look, I'm going to have to go training over with you guys. Yeah. So, yeah. But anywho, he really, what an amazing personality he has. He was on the show with us and just great. Oh, my God. But not only that, in the beginning, and I just wanted to give folks a little teaser because I didn't know what to expect from the book either. This could have been one big advertisement, which is not, folks. It is not. I'm walking my dog reading the book now. I'm like, oh, my God, this is great. And one of the things that, you know, later and deep in the book, you made me challenge something that I say a lot on the show. I say the holy trinity of payroll, and I say it's finance, HR, and payroll, right? But you have a little different concept here where it's three overlapping departments, human resources, finance, and operations. And in the middle of all that intersection is payroll. And I really love that articulation. I love the visual of that. I think people will learn from that there. And again, Bart does a great job of not making this an advertisement for his company, but he does say in the book, if you want help, if you want to go deeper, call them and reach out to Payroll Minds, right? And you have an opportunity to consult folks and help them, because that's not what this book is about, right? But if you need help, reach out. I love that concept. I think that's in line with me and Walt and what we want to do with this show. This is not about what we're trying to sell or anything like that. We're trying to help folks, right? If you need help, reach out. Because the payroll world is out there, and folks like Bart and Max and me and Walt, we're willing to help, right? Because I think it was Max that said, knowledge, if not shared, right? If it's nothing.
Yes.
It means nothing if you can't share it. So
this
is a time where we're seeing a time in history where these great payroll minds are really flourishing and getting their stage, and we're out there, we're helping folks. And the recurring theme that I keep hearing, and there's such an opportunity for us to consolidate this all, and I want to be a part of that, is that there is no playbook. There is no one right way. And I think you even say it in here, or Max said it, there's no one road to learning everything. And I think that's where I come in. I have a passion for learning and teaching, and we have to fix that. As a payroll group, as leaders, we have to fix it. Has to be, the roads have to be defined. Hey, this you can learn. If you take this learning path, you'll get here. Right now, it's so dysfunctional. It's so disparaging. Everything is all over. Learning is a puzzle of pieces. Payroll is already complicated enough. And then trying to get my learning path is complicated as well. So that's a frustrating part for me. And I challenge us as leaders in this to fix that.
Before we sign off, here are a couple quick things. Don't forget to follow It's About Payroll on LinkedIn, and It's About Your Paycheck on Facebook and TikTok.
Thank you for being part of our payroll community, and thank you for being a part of this journey with us. Until the next time, keep learning, keep growing, and most importantly, keep going.